Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. For those of you from my generation, this was the signature opening to each of the original Star Trek TV shows. Captain Kirk would pronounce the overall mission of the crew of the Enterprise. It spoke of their goals and forward-looking agenda. It even spoke of faith, although not hourly, that they had a five-year mission with the built-in assumption they would return home afterwards. As all explorers, both real and fictional, there's an element of breaking new ground, of discovering new things, and making first-time breakthroughs. From Christopher Columbus to Ferdinand Magellan to John Glenn to Neil Armstrong and, yes, even Captain Kirk, stepped out into the unknown with a sense of excitement and confidence about what they might find. And we are about to embark on a similar journey ourselves. We are packing our bags and storing our belongings and about to walk out from this place for the last time to set up our ministry in a new location. We are boldly going where Ohev is not gone before. My question for us today is, do we have the faith to make this transition? And the title of my message is Forward by Faith. Forward by Faith. It's not like we are the first congregation to ever have to move. In fact, it's happened numerous times in the life of this congregation. Since I began attending in 1988, 29 years ago, this is the fourth facility that we've had services in. When I arrived, we were at New Life Open Bible Church over on Franconia Road, then moved to Calvary Christian Church down on Old Keene Mill Road. Then for a short time, we were at a school over on Braddock Road in Alexandria-Annandale area before we moved here. So moving into new locations and new phases of life and new callings are common themes throughout the Scriptures. And we have plenty of examples in the Scriptures to rely upon, to draw encouragement and hope from. But today I'd like to use three events from Abraham's life to help bolster our faith today. My text today comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which we're all so familiar with. Let's read it together. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now all the rest of you, please join me in reading it again. Instead of the 10 that did before. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. My theme today is to encourage us to really walk in faith as we move. So therefore, I'd like to develop this theme by briefly discussing three instances in Abraham's life. First, identified in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. And I hope we'll find our faith increasing as we will see, in each of these experiences with Abraham, there was always a sense of looking forward. The three events we'll look at and try to draw some help from our own situation are his first leaving the land of Ur to come to Canaan, secondly, his fulfillment of Isaac being born, and thirdly, the sacrifice where the Lord asked him to sacrifice his son. So let's look first at his call to leave. And we read this from Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. Where Paul tells us that by faith, and what is faith? Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So we see here two themes in this passage, that by Abraham, by faith, by being sure of what he hoped for and certain of what he did not see, was going to leave in his country and move forward. And he had a sense of looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So let's go back to Genesis to find the real origin of this story, which is in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, where we find that Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. I never saw this before, but Terah, Abram's father, started out to go to Canaan himself and brought his family with him. But he stopped in Haran, and they settled there. And for some reason, they got stalled going to Canaan. Did Terah receive a call himself previously from the Lord to move there? We don't know, and the scripture doesn't say so. Or was it because it offered a better opportunity for him? Maybe there had been a famine in Ur in the Babylonian Iraq area where they were originally from. Maybe there was a war and they wanted to get their escape from it. Maybe they wanted to get away from Sarai's parents who were driving Abram crazy. And but we don't know. But they stalled. So someone has planted the seed in Abram that we're going to Canaan. But then Abram receives the clear call from God. We read in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram was 75 years old when he began this trek with the Lord. He'd already been married to Sarai for who knows how long, and they'd already experienced barrenness. He hadn't been able to have a child all the time to live in Haran. But we see here that Abram had some incredible faith to trust that he's hearing God's voice out of nowhere. He trusts that I'm hearing this voice tell me to pick up everything I have and move to some place I don't know where I'm going. And he obeys. Abram goes beyond just having trust that I believe what I heard. He then puts feet to his faith and obeys and actually starts to do it. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, is to actually do it. A lot of us believe a lot of different things, but never actually act on it and do it. But he obeyed, and he had promises, though, from the Lord. And maybe that's what encouraged him to go. Look at these promises. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Maybe that was worth it all to him to hear that, you know, that God, what these incredible promises that looked forward to him, looking forward of what would happen. Again, he's 75 years old when he begins this trek. And Abram dies, you hear, read later, at 175 years old. So we hear of Abram's life for a 100-year span, all these things that happened to him. So he's looking forward to a new land to live in, a promise of being a great nation, a great name, and you will bless others. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What an incredible promise, which is really a foretaste, picture of the Messiah, that through Abraham's seed, ultimately the Messiah would come forth and bless all the nations of the earth. As we read from Hebrews 11:10, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundation, whose architect and builder is God." He was looking to the age to come. I don't think he was looking to Jerusalem being built. He was looking to the new Jerusalem that was going to be built, even though I don't know if he consciously understood it. But Paul is looking back through the years of history, saying that Abraham was looking for the city whose foundation is from the architect and builder is God. So what does this mean to us at Ohev Israel in our move that we're about to have? We are trusting God, just like Abram did, that we are being led to this place where we're going for this season of time. And we're being obedient to God. We are obeying God's leading by moving there, upsetting all we know, leaving all we've known behind. And some of it may be painful, and some of it may be uncomfortable for us at first to go and be in a new place. But God will be with us. We have a clear call from God, mainly because the county spoke it to us, right? Condemning the building for us, so we appreciate that. Thanks a lot, guys. And our lease running out, you know, minor detail. clear call we're supposed to move, but we are being blessed by this Korean church, and God will bless them. They're blessing the people of Israel, and they will be blessed. And we are receiving a blessing through Abraham's promise that all nations on earth will be blessed, for all those Korean people who've come to know Messiah Yeshua have now blessing us. The blessing they have received by knowing him is now being shared with us. So we've looked at Abraham's calling and how he got to where he is, but the next phase of Abraham's life we want to look at is the birth of Isaac, the fulfillment of this promise. The fulfillment. So let's look where we read about it first in Hebrews 11 through 12, again, where Paul says, by faith, again, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Once again, these two themes of by faith, Abraham believed that he would have a child, even though his wife was barren. He kept on being sure of what he hoped for and certain of what he did not see. And he was looking forward. He was looking forward to the son coming, this child who would bless all the and all the great descendants that he would have, and he would be the father of nations, we'll read. So Sarai had been barren for a long time. You remember, Abraham was 75 years old when we even begin to see the story unfolding. So we read, in going back to the original source of this story, we read in Genesis chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. You know, we've already fast-forwarded to the point where Sarai becomes frustrated, can't have a child, and gives her handmaiden, Hagar, to Abraham, and then he has a child through her, Ishmael. So they're still frustrated after all these years, and so after speaking about Ishmael, and Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, to Abraham, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Again, Abram was 75 years old. His wife had been barren for all along. They'd been married, no children. But God tells Abram that despite his wife's barrenness to date, he will have a child. Many years ago, I went for work. I went out to Colorado and got to go up into the Rocky Mountain National Park, and it was there at nighttime, and I don't know if many of you have been in places like that where you are away from all the city lights and you can really see the stars in the sky. How many have ever had experiences like that? It's truly amazing. I miss that around here because there's so many lights from the city. You really never see the stars anymore at night. There's nothing more beautiful than being in a place where it's crystal clear like that and seeing the beauty of God's heavenly host. I imagine every night, Abraham going to bed or watching over his flocks or his people and looking up every night seeing, this is what my inheritance is going to be like. This many people are going to come from me. I wonder what he thought. How many times did he say, yeah, right. Sure. Look, I'm 75 years old. Sure, this is going to happen. Every night he could see the promise of God before him and wondered. Then we read in Genesis chapter 17 that God reiterated his promise to be the father of many nations. And then God gives Abraham a surprise that will help him in fathering a child by telling him to circumcise himself. Thanks. This is really going to help, you know. I'm already an old guy, and now you want me to cut myself? So you read in Genesis 17, 15 through 19, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. He's telling this all after he's given him the covenant of circumcision. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him in an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. We can understand Abraham laughing, can't we? How many 100-year-old and 90-year-old couples do you know that have a brand new newborn child? Now it's even more impossible because you're asking me to kind of mutilate myself here. You know. But he had a sense of looking forward to, well, you know, I see these stars. You're telling me these promises. Keep moving forward. And then we find the fulfillment comes in Genesis 21. Of course, we know the story. Sarah becomes pregnant. And finally, Isaac is born in Genesis 21, 1 through 7. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said. Gracious to her. He had grace upon her. After all those years, he had grace and blessed her. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. And Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And when the son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when the son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Gracious. He was gracious to her and to Abraham. Fulfills his promise that they will have a child. And they do. What does all this mean to us at Ohev Israel? Do we believe God will be faithful though we continue to wait? This isn't really where we wanted to go. We're always hoping we'll have a nice shiny place up on a hill. Are we going to grow in our ability to reach out to others, to Jews, as witnesses? Can we continue to grow by reaching Jews and non-Jews for Messiah? Till we have a more suitable building for our purposes, will we continue to be patient and wait for the Lord? Or will we try to make things happen in our own strength? I can't speak to specific promise God has given us regarding our future except one. And I remember a couple of years ago, a reputable prophet within the Messianic movement, Jason Sobel, was here and gave this congregation a word several years ago before anything about the building issue ever came up. His word basically was that God would provide us a physical building beyond what we could imagine if we would turn our efforts to outreach. Now, this really resonated with me. I don't know about you, if anybody remembers this, but because this came out of nowhere to me. If we turn our efforts toward outreach, can we do it? We've looked at Abraham's leaving the nation of Ur and coming to the promised land. We've looked at the fulfillment of his son being born of Isaac. And now let's look at the last situation in his life we want to discuss, and that is where God asks him to sacrifice this son that he has waited so long for. Again, from Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, we read, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Again, we see these two themes. By faith, by being sure of what he hoped for and certain of what he did not see, he was willing to begin the process of sacrificing his son. And we see the sense of looking forward. He believed God would raise him from the dead, even if he killed him. He believed he would raise him from the dead and all his promises would be fulfilled, looking forward. So going back to the original story where this all occurs in Genesis 22, this is the Akedah, which is always read at Rosh Hashanah, another story we're so familiar with. Reread in Genesis 22, 1 through 2. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will show you." Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Most scholars think Isaac was somewhere around 13 years old or so when this occurred, so Abraham would have been at least 113 years old, and God needs to test him again. He'd already been through quite a bit in his life, hadn't he? Let's take a look at this brief overview of his life here, if we can. We're on to the next one here. These are the things that happened in Abraham's life here, Genesis chapter 12. He's called to Canaan at 75 years old. You know, all these stories you're familiar with. He moves to Egypt and fools Pharaoh that Sarai is his sister, and he takes her into his fold, but then God saves her from that. He meets Melchizedek, has an incredible encounter with this prefigure of Yeshua. There's the story of the smoking fire pot where the covenant is made with Abraham. He falls into a deep trance. Hagar gives birth to Ishmael. Abraham is 86 years old when this happens. Then he's given the covenant of circumcision when he's 99 years old. He then has the three visitors who come to visit him, and Sarah serves them food. Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. And Sarah is taken by Abimelech as Abraham's sister again. Abraham trying to hide who his wife really is, but she's rescued again. Isaac is born. Abraham is 100 years old, Sarah 90 years old. Then asked to sacrifice Isaac. And so prior to that point, I think he'd been through quite a bit of testing, don't you think? But God's going to test him again. And the sad conclusion I've come to from all this is sad, because God still tests you no matter how old you are. Dog, don't I ever pass? 113 years old, been through all this. Going to test you again. Again, we learn from Hebrews verse that Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead, and he was looking forward to the resurrection. The fact that Abraham was still able to hear God's voice in the midst of all this stress, if you think about it. I'm not going to take the time to read this whole scripture here. It's the whole story of how he binds Isaac, lays him on the altar, takes the knife, ready to kill him, and then the voice, the angel comes and calls out, "Abraham, Abraham," and a ram is caught in the thicket, and he's saved. As I thought about this a little bit, I wondered why God maybe asked him to sacrifice his son. We're never really told. He said that he wants to test him. Maybe that's really all there is to it, but I was wondering if maybe Abraham had started to kind of make a little idol out of Isaac, started maybe so much attention, so much love, because he'd been waiting so long. I don't know, I'm just speculating. Maybe God was saying, I'm still number one. I don't know, we don't know. Just sheer speculation on my part. But the fact that he could hear God's voice in the midst of that incredible stress, I don't know about you, sometimes it's hard for me when I'm in a stressful situation to really hear God's voice clearly. But Abraham was able to do that, thankfully, to rescue his son. What does all this mean to us at Ohev Israel? Speculating on my theory of maybe he had made Isaac into an idol or had gotten a little off track, could we have possibly gotten off track somehow? I don't know. Maybe we'd become a little too comfortable in this place. I mean, it's not the greatest place, but we might have gotten a little comfortable. I don't know. But we certainly know, all of us agree, that we believe God has made this happen to move us on to do something else. We all agree with that. Tested. Some of us have been here a while. We're being tested again in our old age. Some have been here a long time. Ohev has also been through many significant trials. We can make a nice list up there like Abraham's of what the trials this congregation has been through. But by faith, we can pass the tests that come our way. By being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. By faith, we can still hear God's voice in the midst of stressful situations. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And we can look forward to God fulfilling his purposes for Ohev Israel. Do we believe it? By faith, will we move forward, trusting God that he will fulfill his promises, fulfill his blessing and his purposes for this congregation. We started off with a famous quote from an old TV show. Now I'd like to do a different version. I've taken a shot at this statement for our own purposes. Jewish space, the final frontier. These are the exploits of the congregation Ohev Israel. Its never-ending mission to bring the good news of Messiah Yeshua to Jewish and non-Jewish people, to bring new life and new power to God's chosen people and others, to boldly go where few have gone before. We are about to launch into a new phase of Ohev Israel's life, and the title of my message today has been Forward by Faith. We're going to walk forward by faith by being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. My theme today has been to encourage us to walk in faith as we move. Grow in your faith. We looked at the three instances in Abraham's life. When he left the land and moved to the promised land. When his promise was fulfilled and Isaac was born and then called to sacrifice his son. And we've learned from them. I hope you have been inspired, encouraged, and challenged to grow in your faith and to rely upon your faith as we move forward from this place. And we look forward to what the Lord has in store for us. Let's pray. Lord, today we've looked at Father Abraham, but we know that you are our Heavenly Father. And we know that you have good gifts for your children. And so we're relying upon this, Father, today, that you love us as your children and you care for us and want the best for us. And as we do all this hard work to move from this place and move forward, we ask that you will bless us. And we ask that you will help us fulfill your destiny for us as a congregation, Lord. That we might be a light in this region for Messiah Yeshua. To our Jewish brothers and family members and sisters and co-workers and neighbors. Use us, Father, we pray. And open us up to how we can be used more by you. Increase our faith that we will be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That you will make it happen. Encourage each one here. Let them not feel discouraged, but encouraged, Lord. That there's something new and better and greater as we look forward to what you have for us. We pray and ask all this in the name of Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. So, the elders could come forward and we'll conclude the service here.